You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
So then he goes on to say that you must put off the former conversation or lifestyle of the old man. And then he says, and be renewed. Now watch this. He does not say that you put off the former conversation, verse 22, and then jump into verse 24 and put on the new man. He doesn't say that because he interjects something in the middle, which is new mind. What do you need a new mind for? A new mind will help you put on the new man. As a young boy, I had a propensity to change clothes without bathing. I mean, it was just, you know, normal. Mama would lay out my clothes, and she would have to always say, you know, boy, you better take a bath. And, you know, we didn't have all that fancy soap. You know, she would put Fab in the water, and you put it on, and it scrub you. Praise God. That was scrubbing. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but a box of detergent. And it would just scrub you. And then you get out, and then you put on your clothes because you had to get washed to put on your clothes. So here he's telling you to put on a new man, so there has to be some washing. But the washing isn't the body. The washing is the mind. See, the Holy Spirit, week after week, is washing our minds. What's he doing? Trying to change how we think. Listen carefully. Not what we think, because the situations are still there, but it's how you think. Lord, help me. Now, listen carefully. Listen carefully. I do not like asparagus, Brussels sprouts. I don't like green vegetables. I was forced to eat them in the prison called home. And so I swore that when I became an adult, I was not going to buy and eat those things. And I don't. I'm true to my word. I didn't. So my sister Lambert is a big vegetable person, and she just lives for vegetables. And you know, anyway, God bless her. But she lives for vegetables, so she wanted me to eat vegetables, and I don't like them. You understand? I don't. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. Anybody with me in this section? I feel akin. There you go. Bless you. You are now an assistant pastor. So understand. I did not like them. So here's what she did. She says, okay, he likes cheese. So she made a cheese casserole, and put vegetables in it. Cut them up, right? Served it to me. Right, and didn't tell me vegetables were in it till after I ate it. And she said, how is it? I said, this tastes good. She said, this is what I put in it. And so I will never eat a cheese casserole from her again. Are you hearing me? So the Holy Spirit is the same way. He says, I need you to change, but I don't want you to know I'm working on you. Because if you know I'm working on you, you're not going to let me change you. So what does he do? He puts you in situations. And in those situations, he slowly changes your responses until one day you wake up and you say, I don't hate that person anymore. I'm not jealous of that person anymore. What's been going on here? Let me give you a hint, because I love you. He kept exposing you to that person until they no longer affected you. And when that person who you once had a grudge with no longer affects you, you are delivered. But you didn't know it. Ow! Somebody ought to be dancing right now. Woo! You make me feel like dancing. Look at this. Look at this. Listen. Now, after the mind has been renewed in verse 23, after it's been renewed, this is what he says. Now put on that new man. After that mind is renewed, after you start thinking differently, he says, there's a series of actions that can only exist when you change your mind. Watch how he goes through this list. Number one, put away lying. Till your mind is changed, you're going to lie. Little white ones, big black ones, small green ones, nice beige ones, technicolor ones, depending upon the severity of the situation. You know why I pulled you over? No, officer, why did you pull me over? Officer pulled me over on the Pennsylvania Turnpike one time, walked up. He said, "You know why I pulled you over?" I said, "Yes, sir. I was driving too fast." He said, "License and insurance card." I said, "Here you are, trooper." I didn't even look up. I said, "Here you are, trooper." I was already thinking how we can have a special offering to pay for the ticket. And I knew it was going to be a lot of money. I was going to go into my Muslim rap. So you just bothered me because I'm a brother. But when I saw that pistol on his side, I said, "I'm just going to take the ticket and come to church and let Aaron pay for it." He's selling a lot of houses. Pay for my ticket. Officer took my information and looked at it and said, "Are you Pastor Lambert?" I said, "No." I had to ask the Lord to forgive me. I said, "No, we all look alike." He said, "No, you're not. You Pastor Lambert. I see you on television." I said, "Yeah, all right." He said, "All right, I'm not going to give you a ticket this time." I said, "Yea, thus saith the Lord, you will have a good day. You will make it home safely." He said, "Slow down, drive safe." Thank you. But it's amazing how quickly the mind fills up with lie. As saved as I am, lie came up. You think you're exempt from it? No, but your mind's new. So for the first time in your life, you can cast it down. Nope, I'm not going to lie. Nope, I was speeding. Yeah, I was. Just tell the truth. Don't say my pedal's stuck. I was listening to music. I just got this car. I don't know how to work the pedals. I pushed the button for self-drive. No. The Bible says, "Let every man speak truth to his neighbor." But you can't do that till the mind is renewed. You're going through a process. You're undergoing a process. Look what he says. Put away lying. Everybody speaks truth to his neighbor. For we are members one of another. So in other words, when you lie to somebody in the body of Christ, you're lying to yourself. You lie to yourself. You got that size 2 in the closet. You ain't never going to wear it again. Don't lie to yourself. Praise the Lord. One day I'm getting back in it while you're eating 3 or 4 chicken wings. Praise God. I'm getting back in that. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Donate it to a nursery school so they can use it for paint rags. Don't lie to yourself. Tell the truth. Praise God, I earned this. There's a lot of 7-Up cake. Tell the truth. I feel God. Listen, he says, put away all that stuff. Then in verse 26, the most difficult thing, most of us will brag about not committing adultery and fornication. Praise God, I never do that. But verse 26 says, be ye angry and don't sin. This is this verse in a synopsis. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. When your mind is changed, here's what he's saying. If someone does something that angers you for the moment, be angry for the moment, but get over it. Don't hold grudges. It is clinically proven that when you hold a grudge, it causes your body to experience negative responses that can lead to sickness. We are convinced in the scientific community that when a person has certain sicknesses that might have symptoms but cannot be revealed through tests, it is because you are harboring bitterness in your heart, and God did not create us to hold on to bitterness. All right, you are justified with being angry. Someone wronged you. Get over it. Don't hold on to it forever. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Don't be angry on Sunday and still here it is Wednesday and your lips still stuck out. What's the matter? They know what they did. No, be angry, but don't sin. Where does this come from? It comes from a renewed mind. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Those 6 words are very important to your Christian evolution. What does it mean to not give place to the devil? I love this passage. If you go over to the letter to the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians, I'm going to show you. I'm going to put 2 pieces of evidence together. And the Apostle Paul is teaching something to us that we dare not ignore. Okay, neither give place to the devil, right? Watch. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound or grow in that knowledge. Hallelujah. Once you find out how you're supposed to live, then you're to live it to the full. Then he goes on. He said, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. So here's what he's saying. You and I have the God-given directive to know the limitations of our flesh. See what he says? He says that you know how to possess your vessel. Now, every one of us is different in every area of our lives. Every one of us. Some of us, before we were born again, we had a problem with drinking. Right? Now, this has never been my cross because I never drank. But some of you, unfortunately, in your life, you had a problem with drinking. So much so that it possessed you. Okay. Now you're a Christian. Listen carefully. Science is proving that certain addictive behaviors are linked to genetics, which means that it may be in your DNA to be an alcoholic. But now that you're saved, you still have that DNA strand, but you have the power not to engage it. But you must possess your vessel in honor, which means that when they break out the liquor, you go home. You don't sit there and say, Satan, the Lord rebukes you, the blood of Jesus against you. It don't bother me. But then all of a sudden, the strongest memory jogger is your sense of smell. I have driven through Fairmont Park as a grown man and smelled the charcoal from people having picnics. And immediately my mind goes back to being a little boy and sitting in that same park with my family. Why? Because smell is the greatest tool to bring about memory. That's why when Jesus sat with Peter after he rose from the dead, and the Bible says Peter was out fishing, and when they came to shore, Jesus had a charcoal fire burning, and he was cooking fish. And Peter sat by that fire, and Jesus began to engage him. Do you love me? And Peter said, I'm fond of you. Jesus said, do you love me? Because Jesus kept saying agape. Peter kept answering, I phileo. And so the third time, Jesus says, do you phileo me? Peter said, yes, Lord, I'm fond of you. But why does he do it at the charcoal fire? Why does he get Peter to remember that he is fond of him at the charcoal fire? Because Peter denied him at a charcoal fire. So if Jesus had not replaced that memory of the charcoal fire, if he had not replaced that, every time Peter would have smelled charcoal, he would have remembered, I denied the Lord. But because the Lord is gracious, he said, I don't want him to have that memory. So now when he smells charcoal, he's going to remember, this is where he asked me if I love him. At the charcoal, on the way to Jesus' trial, they asked him, did he know him? He said, no. But now Jesus said, do you love me? Lord, I wish I had a church that could hear what I'm saying. The world asks you, do you know him? But God says, do you love me? God ain't worried about that other stuff. If you love me, that's what's important. So Jesus didn't say, do you know me? He said, Peter, do you love me? Because it's the most important part of your senses. When you smell, glory to God. Let me move on. This is some good stuff. So he says that when the mind is renewed, you go on and you don't give place to the devil. Because if you had a drinking problem, when you sit down and you smell that Hennessy, all of a sudden it's going to come back to your mind. Man, the first time I had this was at the Lambert Bar on Susquehanna Avenue in Woodstock. And I only paid $1.75 for the shot. Man, it was smooth. You can always tell who drank by the way they elongate smooth. Normal people say it was smooth. But a person who used to drink said, child, it was smooth. So don't give place to the devil. Listen, Don't put yourself in any position that the Holy Spirit can't contain you. Now, I dare not suggest that he is not powerful, but if we make the choice to put dirty water in our glass, he'll let you do it. When an email comes to you and you can see that it says, you know, how to give her extreme pleasure, delete it. Don't open it up. Come on, I need spice in my life. We've been married all these years and the fire is not out, but it sure is smoldering. Don't open it. Don't open it. Don't give place to the devil. Don't give him access. Board up the windows and the doors and say, you can no longer come in. I don't belong to you. Paul says it like this to the Romans. He says, do not yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Don't even yield your members. You're at the beach and you're enjoying the sunshine, getting your daily allotment of vitamin D. And you're laying there reading scripture and listening to your Christian music, enjoying the beauty of God's ocean. The ocean is coming into the shore and you hear the waves say, praise the Lord. Glory to God. And then all of a sudden, she walks by and she has on a thong. Not a thong, dental floss. Now you're doing your best not to look. Jesus. Now I'm going to tell you something. While you're laying on that beach saying, Jesus, he ain't going to help you. He's not going to help you because she's there and you're there. He'll only help you when you get up, roll up your blanket, and walk off the beach. See, we think if we lay there and go, Satan, the Lord rebukes you. The blood of Jesus is against you. I bind you, Satan. Come out of her. And then you, when you're done, you go, Lord, forgive me. But it's too late because the thought is in your mind. It's there now. It's planted. And what you're going to do is continue to try to feed that lust. Don't give place to the devil. You must cancel it out. You either get up and leave or wrap that towel around your face. So all you see is terry cloth. And you keep it up there till you ask, is she gone? You're not impervious to the temptation of the devil. That's why the Bible says that you are not to give any place to the devil. You don't go to the beaches that you know. We were in Miami and we asked the driver to take us to the beach. He said, if you go down there, that's the new beach. We said, we don't want to go to new beach. Take us to the old people beach. Where they walk on the beach in corduroys and Wranglers and Timberland boots with knee socks all the way up, and they wear hoodies. I don't go nowhere that I gotta plead the blood of Jesus. Why? I'm a child of God, and I want my mind to stay pure so that the flow of God will not be hindered. I want to receive God's thoughts. I want to walk in a dark area and have the power of the light. I never know when he may need me to lay hands on a sick person, and the anointing doesn't have time to fight through my lascivious thoughts. I want to be clean so that he may call on me at any time, wherever I am. He may need me to cast the devil out of somebody, and I don't have time to repent of personal indiscipline. I got to stay clean. Never know when you walk up to somebody laying at the gate begging for alms, and I might only have time to say, look on us. Don't give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. What does this have to do with the mind? We justify stealing. Income tax time, we steal. Put down stuff that we didn't really do. I gave $17,000 to the church. You added two zeros and a decimal point. It was $1.70. Let him that stole steal no more. Don't steal from your employer. They hire you for 8 hours. They don't hire you to play on the computer and steal their supplies. Our homes are filled with pens that come from our job. We actually think it's okay to buy the tag that puts the price tag back on the clothes after you've worn them. Take it back. Let him that stole steal no more. You can't go into the market and pick the grape and see if it's sweet before you buy it. That's stealing. You gotta take the same shot as everybody else. Buy it and take it home. If they're not sweet, then let them lay in the sun until they turn into raisins. But don't steal in the market. Because as sure as the sun comes up over the Sea of Japan, some Christian's going to see you stealing. You have to live with integrity. People were on an elevator on a cruise boat one year, and Sister Lambert and I were on the elevator, and somebody go, "Hi, Bishop Lambert." I would get off. I say, "Hello." And she said to me, "Let's tell them I'm your girlfriend." I said, "You know, that's pretty neat. You know, you get into some trouble, and people go, 'Oh, he was on a cruise boat with his girlfriend.' Then it'll come back to church, and some of you would believe it. You go, 'See, I knew there was something about him, all that holiness he teaches. I knew he was a creeper.'" But when you walk in integrity, when your mind is changed, when your heart is clean, when you are different, you can go anywhere and God can depend on you. I was in Rome, Italy several years ago, and a man walked up to me as I came out of the hotel. I was going down to the little trattoria to have some tea and pizza, and he walks up to me and he was a pimp. He says, "You here by yourself?" I said, "Yes." He says, "You need woman?" I said, "No." He said, "I have girls." I said, "Sono uno pastore. Ho bisogno Gesù Cristo." I said, "I'm a pastor and you need Jesus." He said, "Okay." I saw him for the next few days. He didn't say a word to me. He walked away every time I came out. God needs to know he can depend on you in another continent. God needs to know that you'll be clean when nobody's watching your back. God needs to know that you'll be holy wherever you are. When your mind is changed, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, so that he can give to a person who needs. You become charitable when your mind is changed. That old mind, full of the old Adamic nature, will cause us to be stingy. But the mind of Christ, according to Deuteronomy, says that not only would you be blessed, but you'll have the ability to lend and not to borrow. The optimum use of God is that we have him, but we give him to everybody else. Who have you given Christ to lately? Have you reached out to anyone and presented Christ?
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, The Lifestyle of the New Creature, or the program number 0419A. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294, and on the Word Network Monday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at BethelDeliverance.org, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.